If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers, there are no mega donors, there is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz.
That's right, bish.
It's the Daily Show. What is this? 1389. 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 to go to the magic episode.
This is the good stuff. The right
Jewish
stuff.
The Daily Show.
Here we are. Make sure you check all your streaming services for the Red Triangle EP was posted yesterday.
Oh, nice.
The publisher has sent me an email saying, get ready, your release is slated to be released within days. And the link was already live. Oh. So it's there. Red Triangle is up, which is the funniest thing in the world. Like, on all of these Jewish media streaming platforms, this is a celebration.
That's awesome. That's fucking great.
I didn't publish the lyrics because I was not that bold. But like, yeah, this is literally a song about saying that resistance isn't just like crying and weeping. That's actually taking.
No. It's actually. I mean, you literally said this is a celebration of violence.
It's like
I love that. I love that song. It's so good.
It's like I clearly support terrorists. It says. The last line is, this is a celebration, this is a glorification of violence against Zionists everywhere.
It's like it's basically exactly what they like don't want. I mean, the reason that that's so illegal is because that's what they don't want.
It's not illegal.
No, I mean the reason that like the it's so illegal to do that. To actually do
what?
Violence against Zionists
everywhere. Oh, yeah, that's illegal. Saying that I glorify what
I'm saying, that you're an enjoyer. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, yeah. I can do that. I can sing songs about it all day, and I will. So there was that.
And I will.
And we were, so I have to get right into it before I forget, because I will forget. We were talking about, you brought up at the end of prep that somebody, once again, these people, these rightoids that want to rescue their dumb ideas, their wrong worldview, their inability to analyze issues, they want to rescue that from reality by creating alternate realities. They want to ask you about how would you feel if you didn't eat breakfast. It's like I did eat you do, like, it's funny to make fun of niggers for that, but you cannot try to take my breakfast away from me when I had it. Like, I ate it.
Well,
it was healthy, it was nourishing. I'm a better person for having breakfast. You can't basically say you're actually starving and malnourished and you're vitamin deficient and you're, it's like, no, I'm not. No. I had my breakfast. So someone had asked you, why didn't you eulogize? Someone accused us of eulogizing Rush Limbaugh when he died instead of saying like, no, fuck this about Charlie Kirk. And we were talking about, it's like, well, nobody
like
was
dancing on his grave.
Nobody was trying to pretend that Charlie Kirk no one was trying to pretend that Rush Limbaugh, pardon me, was killed for being white and was a white supremacist and was one of us, and that they, and that the cancer would hate us too and like killed him. It's like, none of that happened.
Cancer would kill you too. That
these
is
are
true.
Different situations, but I want to remember something that I said about Rush Limbaugh. Okay. One of the reasons that we're being subjected to the current level of just like conservative clown show is that Rush Limbaugh's gone. Rush Limbaugh gave an air of, I don't know if it's real or not, like intellectualism and consistency and clarity to the right wing team in America that's gone now. And Charlie Kirk is one of the clowns that fucking poofed up out of the ashes to be as Jewish as possible at all times. It's like, I just want to remind people that, like, that was also part of it. It's just like, I mean, it's different. It's a different flavor.
I'm not like so I think maybe he yeah, okay, fair.
Charlie Kirk is far less of a respectable broadcaster and personality than Rush Limbaugh ever was. Rush Limbaugh was really under the times they tried to get him over the years and tried to cancel him for things he said in his program, and he just like argued through it. His fucking companies argued through it, and were like, "Fuck this, we're not taking that down." He's allowed to call what's her face a slut. He's allowed to say this. He's allowed to say that.
Yeah.
It's like all the
a
time
lot of that stuff. I feels like it was all sort of fake, though. Like,
nah, the fucking they wanted him. Yes. The left.
There were liberal organizations.
The fight between the two parties. The fight between the two parties for Dobbin is real. They do like they do want to defeat each other. They wanted Rush Limbaugh off. It was driving them crazy, the liberals, that they could not get a talk radio network going, like with Al Franken. Like it drove them nuts. They didn't understand why doesn't this work.
Let me just ask you. Here's something. Here's a way to frame this. If you see how much dissidents care about the two-party system, the people actually directly involved in one of the other either two parties. They really care. The people who are more interested in like sitting back and like managing that are like a very select group of extremely wealthy and powerful Jews and academics and people at like at colleges and think tanks and stuff like that. There's a and there's even Jews that are involved in the administrations of these parties that want to go and get the other party, right? And that sort of, but in the end, the policy making apparatus does not change when parties change, except only in minor senses that don't really matter very much. Like, I'm not going to say like there's zero consequences.
The patronage changes. Peter Thiel and Palantir wouldn't be getting a dime out of the Kamala administration.
Largely what it is. Yeah. Patronage networks, some minor policies here and there relating to usually regulations and stuff like that. That's doing a favor for one or the other person, whatever. But there's no sea change in terms of policy, and particularly not when it pertains to Zionism and foreign policy. That shit is lockstep, always the same. That stuff only ever changes the rhetorical justifications. There is no difference in any foreign policy measures.
You an actual like informed, detailed narrative to counter the people on the left that you wanted to counter. Unlike Sean Hannity, who's just like loud and annoying.
That guy's a fucking clown. And that guy is one of the worst clowns.
Right. And it's just like that's what's left of the like people that are like there's nobody like Rush Limbaugh running it now. They're all people like Hannity. They're all bloviating blowhards who are actually they have like go watch Hannity's show. There is no substance to it. And Limbaugh's thing and you might say the air is actually Tucker. Who's now literally announced he's been canceled. He does his own thing. I guess is his show only on Twitter and on his website? I guess so.
I've only seen it on Twitter. I'm sure he puts it elsewhere.
Rush's thing was to take all these Zionist big business interests and convince you that they were working class issues, normal people issues, or middle class issues.
Truckers. The truckers are all listening to Rush.
The truckers listen to it, but so were like middle class professionals and whatnot. Yes. Would listen to it too. Like anyone that pulled a paycheck could be a Rush Limbaugh listener because that's who he was pointing his stuff
Joe
at.
Joe Sixpack.
Yep. Joe Boxman.
Average American.
So, yeah. They made it for.
But everybody. I don't
it wasn't
know.
Just, it wasn't just for if you were like a. It wasn't just for if you were like a really high income, high earner taxpayer who felt like he was getting fucked all the time.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of part of the. He fixed the Republican Party's messaging on that.
Right.
Like
that's
he
how
helped them to.
That's how the 94 whatever it was 94 revolution happened.
In a way, he was like almost like a proto-Trump in that way. And he's like the Republican Party is like the everyman party, which it never was seen that way before. I will say, I think Kirk was less of a clown than someone like Hannity. Like, again,
okay.
I know people have pushed back on me and they want to like, I will say one thing about Kirk is I actually think he was a good and that doesn't, it's not recommending him personally morally, but he was good rhetorically at what he was doing. He did seem like he was intelligent and he was very good. He was a good public speaker. He didn't lose his cool. Like he actually had a command of all
one
the
thing,
talking
though.
Points and whatever. Like that's all. So he was good. He was talented in that respect.
One thing.
He was a talent in that respect. He was doing it for a bad cause. He's probably a bad person. But yeah.
One thing, he was not a good debater. He was not a debater at all. His debates were like setups to get little viral moments out of dumb college kids. There was he did not debate. He went out and he like tried to trap people into creating sound bites to promote his brand.
But so, nonetheless,
because I see people nonetheless, out, I'll say he this, was just though. Such a good debater. It's like, no, he wasn't.
Well, I never saw him do real debates. No. I never saw him do like an actual sort of debate.
He never
But I'll say this. There's still like, it's not like anybody could do what he did. First of all, most people have a deep, like, fundamental phobia of public speaking, where there's people who'd rather go into like combat than have to speak in public, right? There's like, that's how much of an aversion they have to it. So
can I bring my guitar?
Not being able to just be on stage with like 3,000 people there, half of whom fucking hate you, and just have totally not be losing it or not. That's a talent unto itself. But whatever, I actually have said I think Charlie Kirk was very good at rhetoric and talking point, and he was a good public speaker. He was good at getting the message across. That's as much as I'll say. That just means he was an effective Zionist agent, though, right? Mm-hmm. That's effectively what I'm saying. Lest you think I'm complimenting too much. I actually don't agree with people that want to, and maybe that means I don't agree.
Well,
I think
he
was talented at what he did. That's all I'll say, though.
One of the things that allow you to get past your phobia of talking to the public is if you just hate the public.
That's true.
You just hate them and you look down like, fuck these people.
Well, one of those funny. Well, Charlie
I always
Kirk,
be like, I'm in front of the public. I'm in front of a crowd of people. These are my people. They love me. They're here to see me. But that's because I was about to play like Crazy Train. And they want to hear Crazy
Yeah,
Train.
I perform music is another thing too. But I did the kinds of things that Charlie Kirk did. I have actually done that. I have gone to universities and been there and fielded questions from hundreds of hostile people. So I'm just saying, like, I do get, I would wish I could have continued to keep doing it. Like, I would have loved to have kept doing it. Unfortunately, you know, for some of those, I was like saddled to Richard Spencer, who would never, like, who had no idea how to do public speaking or rhetoric. He was terrible at it. Charlie Kirk was significantly better at that stuff than Richard was. And, I am better than Richard. And he was very reluctant to hand over the mic, even when all the people we brought with us to be our guys in the audience, like the Identity Europa people, be like, give him, he knows he's gonna own this lip tart, right? But yeah, so that's all I'll say. That's it, though. But and also, you know, we were reading the articles about him powwowing all these Jews, coming up with talking points, like, you know, brainstorming and workshopping all this shit, and like, you know, playing devil's advocate and learning what are the kids saying. You think about it. Think about what he's doing, right? Like, he goes out and he gets these kids, college kids. Sometimes others can come. You don't have to be in college to go. To go and try and challenge him on points. And what that does is that helps the Jews understand there's a lot of shit out there on the internet. Law, and particularly about Israel, right? Because this is the main thing he was workshopping and brainstorming mm-hmm. the night mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of accusations.
How do I reach these kids?
There's a lot of accusations about Israel. There's a lot of stuff out there. So he actually can then be like, okay, what is motivating enough that people go to a Charlie Kirk event and own him on it? What talking points have penetrated deeply enough? What they would call, like, what pieces of misinformation mm-hmm. from their perspective are really getting into people's brains. So now we know what those are. Now we need to be able to, and those counters to those talking points won't just be Charlie Kirk in his next speech owning some kid on campus. Those will start appearing in media. Mm-hmm. Those will start appearing in editorials. Those will start appearing in broadcasts. You know what I mean? So all of that is like, it's part of a whole big project. So in a way, that's another sort of service he was performing for them. It's just smart from their perspective, but just and that doesn't mean people shouldn't have tried to own him. But the problem I had is that nobody really did. Very few people did. Frankly, after like, how do we win the culture war with anal sex? Like, I don't know if anybody that had a good one.
And there was no follow up to that. He answered that in a way that made his audience clap. Didn't he just deflect it to like, these are my nice gay black friends and look how nice and conservative they are?
I actually don't remember what his response was. I don't,
because at the time we didn't focus on that because we were being team players. Well, but it's just,
yeah,
like,
but
the answer to that was conservative. Like, he wasn't. I don't remember him being flapped by that.
I legitimately don't even remember. But I will. Let me just say. I do remember that event. It was in Ohio. it was very hostile to Kirk, and it was not very well attended. If you look at the crowd,
oh, was it? Maybe I'm remembering. Maybe he did the thing where he recovered at the next one. Like
he recovered like a week later. Okay, like that was his worst night. And one of the reasons it was his worst night is he was sitting up there with a nigger faggot.
Right.
And if you did like the pan out, and it was also when Kirk wasn't as big. If you did like the pan out on the crowd, you saw like only like one in three seats was even occupied there. It was in some auditorium in Ohio. I don't remember where. And like at least Patrick fucking Casey tried to like clout farm by showing up there. Of course, what's so funny is Patrick Casey was like the worst of the people. Like he, I don't even remember what he said, but I just remember. Oh, I remember what he said. I remember what he said. It's so pathetic. It's so fucking pathetic.
Oh, got somebody in chat who says Nick.
So many people. I'll tell you what Patrick said. So many people had at least ideological, political questions for Kirk. Patrick just asked if he would debate Nick Fuentes. What a fucking faggot!
Oh my god.
And that's why Nick was just like you know, fanning his balls until I don't know whatever falling out they had. Like I don't really give a shit. Don't give me lore on that, please. Do not write comments about that. I don't care. But like,
can I give you lore crossed with Bance?
Okay.
The falling out was like one of the what do they call it? AFPAC things that Nick was going to run. There was some sort of kerfuffle over the security of that event, and Patrick Casey took the part that Nick Fuentes was infiltrated by feds, and this was a Fed infiltrated event, and if you went to that event, you were gonna get docs and investigating the FBI was going to get you. And Patrick Casey's like, I want to be the guy responsible for that, not Nick. Like, I'm the guy that gets the FBI involved in docs and organizations. Like, that's my job.
But
like,
I also
it's like Nick Fuentes, like, Nick Fuentes in that case, Nick Fuentes is another Mexican doing an American's job. Like, Patrick Casey's he's the doctor. He's the
family. Well, my question for him there would be like, why did you do that? Because I feel like that wasn't the real reason. He said he had another beef and he came out. And so I don't know. It's just like,
oh my God, I don't care. Right. I do not. I don't care.
I know. I just want to do the Mexicans doing jobs that Americans, you know,
Mexicans doing jobs.
It's like, here's another Mexican doxing.
Now we got another Mexican doing it in California. Ryan Sanchez is doing it. Like, he's another guy. You got another guy with a Hispanic name who's out here, like, who's, you know, like, say his name, Charlie Kirk. Actually, I don't think Fuentes is doing that. I don't know. I have no idea. I think he was saying, like, oh, it's sad, but whatever. Who fucking cares? But I will say that night in Ohio was a bad night for Kirk.
I can't find the auditorium. I just have this. He's doing a Q&A in a entrance somewhere. Yeah.
Very soon to after that, like, I think that was when, again, but this just shows you what Kirk is about, right? Because he workshopped all, he didn't expect it. Then he realized, oh, I'm kind of getting targeted by these people for this kind of shit. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And in a way, the Groyper War thing spurred on Kirk. Because maybe I'm inventing a narrative in my head here, but it feels like that actually turned him into the guy that was like, I'll defeat all comers. Because before he would give like speeches.
I don't remember.
Like, was he doing? I could be making that up, but I guess he was always known for doing big Q&As and such. But after that, he learned, okay, they're going to do USS Liberty. I was like, you fucking retards are going to do another question about the USS Liberty. He did that 10 times last time. They were even doing a thing where if you mentioned the USS Liberty, the whole crowd started to boo because people were so tired of it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I've gone through my critiques of the Groyper War.
Oh, I remember they ended up doing one in California somewhere, where I think Donald Trump Jr. was going to be a speaker at, and like they were putting out these orders to the Groypers, like, not to fuck with Donald Trump Jr. But the enemy here is Charlie Kirk. It's like he's on Charlie Kirk's stage.
I do remember that.
It's like, how are you making this distinction between Trump Jr. and it's all the same fucking issue.
We were in LA when that happened for Mania, and I remember, I've told this story too, how we were talking at Mania how like we should show up. Like, all, like, because we had like 50 people like at a beach fire, right, the night before. And Rob wanted to do it too. And then we were like, I just remember the next morning, just like on the beach in LA, on Rob Rundo Beach there. Rob Rundo Beach.
Little Rab.
Yeah. And we were just like, yeah, nah, like, I'm not going. Like, I'm not going there. Like, fuck this. So, yeah.
Clearly.
That's also a yes. I'll never not think of Redondo Beach as just like Rob Rondo Beach. That's one. Fucking funny as hell. Oh.
So what else do we have? What was in the real show prep fucking thing today? Got nothing. Just the same old.
Well, the funniest thing about real quick.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Was Rob is not the kind of guy you think of as like debating and bancing with people, right? And he was. I mean, he was kind of like, yo, honestly though, the whole New York thing. He was just like, honestly, all this shit. See, everyone seems like a bunch of fags. And I was it's kind of like,
people
yeah,
are fucking nah, gay. You, yeah.
It's like this all this shit just seems kind of fucking gay. Honestly, though, like, why? Like, really, though? Like, I was like, yeah, fuck that shit. So, yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Go to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. For your subscription today.
Anyway.
So, are we going to go to hate crime or hate speech laws, or where are we going to go to now?
What if we were workshopping a group to look like feds?
Oh, you like,
trying to come up with something that would just be like capture that fed aesthetic. Not that we are feds, of course, but how would we do that?
Well, I ruined that reveal by not having my Brave browser ready to go, I guess. I guess this is a decent look, if you want to have... I mean, why is this man masked?
Utah, one of the most prominent conservative organizers in America, Charlie Kirk, was assassinated. Kirk leaves behind him a wife.
Take the mask off and just arrive as TPUSA representatives.
You don't need to wear a mask.
You don't need to wear a mask to do this for Charlie Kirk. Like, this is the problem. And this is why they all think you're feds, because you dress like that.
Yeah, the fact that you're wearing a mask, delivering a basic, normal, conservative message is odd. Like, you don't need to do that. You never need to do that.
And a large void in the political landscape. By all means, he was a moderate. Yet this did not spare him from the left's bloodlust or their jubilation. At his demise, the assassin has been caught and was an Antifa extremist.
You need help.
Yeah, they don't need
help. Is not needed.
You don't need this kind of help, really. Just take the costume off, and you can just.
Who believe that Colin Kirk?
Like, do you think other? I know how this all works because of the way these groups don't know how to do anything. Like, it's March and Grow. Like how
March and Grow is
like how is this supposed to grow? You're like, who is going to volunteer to put on that stupid turtleneck mask and march around saying that when you can say these things as a normal conservative without having people calling me, like, I don't have to get called a fed. I could just show up to a TPUSA thing and I could just be an open member of MAGA in the GOP. Like, why would they
I'd go to March for Life and just walk around?
Just walk around without, I won't have to be, I won't be accused of anything untoward.
Fascist. Justified. March and Wayne's. Billions of Americans agreed with Kirk, and many more have gone beyond his conservatism and into the realm of nationalism.
That's just not true.
This is exactly what he was trying to prevent.
He totally, but, you're on
wait.
No, you're on his own. It's like, what is national? National doesn't mean anything to you.
National.
You're not nationalists. You're masked conservatives. Sorry, go ahead.
Masked conservatives.
If you are one of those Americans, you now know what they think of you. You know that if one of theirs was to kill you, what they would do, what they would think. Anti-American psychopaths watch blood pour from the neck of a man who had never contemplated or desired violence. And still, they want more. Appeasement.
Depends on where you
are. And reconciliation are off the table.
What's on the table? The dramatic royalty-free music? Like, what's on
the table? What table are you
There's
sitting
no table.
Like, what? Where's the table?
They don't want you at the conservative table.
Told you themselves. This attitude of political violence is not going
to... Right, I just can't take it anymore. Who the fuck is this?
Yeah, I know. We don't need
attitude
to... Attitude
of political...
Hold on.
Attitude of political violence?
Is the man in, like, the militant, the quasi-military outfit with a fucking mask?
Exactly. You have the attitude of political violence.
All right. So
the leftists apparently have the actions of political violence.
All right, this is the thing. Patriot, let me explain this. Patriot Front are not federal agents. They are not working for the FBI. They are not feds. They are not informants.
No, not at all.
They may, maybe they've been.
They're not working for white people either.
In their circles before. Sure, fine. But I think they've had their own issues with being infiltrated, but every group gets that, so that's not a thing. My thing is that they are not feds. Okay, I just want to make this very clear. They are not federal agents. They are not working for the FBI. They are not honey trapping you. They are not honeypotting.
No.
They just look like they are. And and so I've thought this for a while, which is that, like, you know, I understand why conservatives have that reaction, like normie conservatives, because they're getting the same reaction right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this video has just gotten them the same reaction. And yep. I would actually say, until these your strategy. Like,
until these motherfuckers remove their masks and let us know who they are, fuck them. They've all been arrested. The law knows who they are. Let's see. I mean, and this is really, and why are they hiding their identities? The media will use these LARPing feds to say the right is militant and radical. Don't fall for this nonsense. Yeah. It's just like, there's no reason to mask up. The message, Patriot Front, is not one that you need to hide your identities from.
Well,
the only reason to hide your identity, the only reason to hide your identity in Patriot Front is because you got involved in a civil case over an assault, I believe, in Boston, and Thomas Rousseau's brilliant strategy was to not respond to the suit. So it was a default judgment against him personally and the group as a whole for a few million dollars. And since no one's going to pay that default judgment, once it gets, like, that keeps working down the line, if they ever identify a Patriot Front member, they could try to hang you on owing part of that default settlement that your leader thought was
I don't know much about that stuff. I haven't really followed their legal troubles. I imagine that they
he did not respond to a suit.
I remember this, actually.
There were other white nationalists using their somewhat, I don't know, pretend influential channels who showed the video of the assault and said, like, it was such an outrage that the judgment was in, you know, the person who fucked with Patreon Front's favor. If you watch the video, you can see the Patreon Front clearly was defending themselves from an assault, not assaulting him.
And it's like, is that the nigger?
Yeah. And it's like, but the point is, like, yeah, if you watch the video, they didn't respond to the suit, so there's nobody to make that argument to the judge, so the default judgment went the other way. That's how that works. When you don't respond to a suit and you don't defend yourself, the plaintiffs get to say what the evidence is. The judge goes, okay, and bangs the gavel, and you lose because you didn't show up.
Right.
And so now, if you're in Patriot Front, you have to keep a mask on because you could be like, for as long as Thomas doesn't pay and may or may not face, like, contempt charges and imprisonment over it, you might get roped into that as well as a member of the organization. So I guess for that purpose,
I will go ahead and agree.
I don't want that,
like,
to happen.
100%.
To you.
But hold on a second. 100%. That nigger was at fault. Like, you, Patriot Front, was defending them. It's that nigger in the pink tank top from, was that Boston or was that?
I think it was Boston.
Yeah. So if you, this is what I didn't get about that. And I didn't say anything publicly because I was like, why don't they respond to this? Like, why don't they?
I don't know.
Because you could win this if you fight. I actually don't think the system is at such a point where, like, and even if you can't win it, you should fight it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't, just like, not non-response is not, because then again, it's not like you could just sue anybody for anything.
Sue everyone.
Like, it's not like you just, like, file papers of lawsuits against
a
just
black
random
man
people
assaulted
for
me
money.
And my shoe hats fell off, and I lost my turtleneck and my mask, and I dropped my American flag with the fascists. But my fascist flag fell off, and I'm going to sue everyone.
Like, there are some minimum things that the court is going to look for, but they had met those. They had clearly had some incident, and they had evidence, and they went to a hearing to get that judgment. And they submitted all their evidence. They swore under oath. They submitted documents. They probably had testimony. And the other side just wasn't there.
That's
also a negative inference. You not showing up is a huge negative inference. That, like, oh, so there's that. Okay. That's just like, but, that's just dumb. You just let that happen to you. Just let yourselves get rolled over like that. But also, if you're just going to be conservatives, you don't need to dress in military uniform or sort of quasi military uniforms. Like, you can just go and be them. We want to just draw. You could just, like, develop, like, a Patriot Front, like, t-shirt design and just wear those and not go mm-hmm. mask and just go to conservative marches with your flags, and they would be, oh, hi, we love you now. But maybe not, because the word Patriot Front's kind of burned with them that they think it's feds. But look, here's my point. This is the only thing. And I've thought this for a few years, and I just didn't say it, and I stopped defending them. We used to vigorously defend them against the charge that they were feds.
Yeah.
And I just stopped because I just don't care anymore. But they're not. I'm 100% they are not feds. But no, the problem is, if you were a normie conservative, look at it from the perspective of somebody who, say you're like a 40-year-old white Christian father who takes his wife and kids to March for Life in D.C., and you're walking down the street, you're around a bunch of other Christians like yourself, mm-hmm. you're with your community, you're feeling great, and then like 50 guys in these like weird uniforms and flags start marching like... It's like because they've got their khaki pants bloused out of their combat boots, and they're like,
yeah, so they're not feds, but they are fed coded, which is a really strange thing.
Like, what are you going to think?
I get the idea. It's like, yes, the goal of that man feels intimidated by you, but he doesn't feel intimidated to have like a better, tighter, more extreme ideology. He's just simply like, what's going on here? Am I going to get caught up in whatever bullshit these guys are doing? Right.
Well, I don't know if the goal is to, I think their goal is to make that guy say, I think their goal from their perspective is that man, that Christian, that white Christian dad, is supposed to be, this is the real thing.
Right.
I'm with the cucks.
Yeah. I need to be with them. I'm not going nearly as far enough been a pussy all my life. What have I been doing? And I have to go put on.
If that was your goal, at least do the empirical test. You've got the data. The data are in on this. The response you actually get from that white Christian father is, that's trouble. I don't want anything to do with that. Yeah. That looks like a gay op. That might be federal agents trying to get me. Right. I'm going to get as far away from that as I fucking can. That doesn't look trustworthy.
Why would you just present as normal and then inculcate them into a cult?
I'll tell you why. Because there aren't enough of them. This is what every one of these groups gets wrong. Is that when you can only show up with like a dozen or so people, two dozen people to a thing, you're not good enough to be at a thing. You have to be like Tommy Robinson. I'm sorry, to be able to have like 100-something thousand people show up in the streets for you. Like, that's what you need. And I don't know how to get anyone to that. I just know that like there's no point in marching for anything until you've got Tommy Robinson level support. Yeah. Not that I support Tommy Robinson is a fucking Jewish fucking chill. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, that's what you have to have. You have to have numbers.
I think you could do it. You don't have to have like 100,000, but you know, if you got 10,000, that's still impressive.
Yeah.
People would say, but Mike, what about your record? I'm like, exactly. What about it? Let's talk about it. I'm willing to admit that like I've gone to many protests that were less than 100 people. I've gone to many less than 1,000. I've gone to some protests more than 100, less than. I've led protests of less than 100 people. I have tried this, and it's fun. We all have fun. It was always a good like camaraderie building event, and we'd have drinks afterwards, have a party. It was always great. But then you look at the video, like, not the best.
And everyone
right?
starts talking it, shit,
and then people start talking shit and whatnot. And it's like, all right, yeah. So again, look, I could still be doing this, right? I could have decided to keep doing this. I could have decided to stick with like the number of guys that wanted to do it. And there's nothing wrong with those people. They deeply want to change everything. But the metrics on this are not there.
There's another difference, too. The key difference is that when we would do a protest, there was some sort of coherent point.
Yes, that would be another thing. Yes.
It's one of the most significant differences.
Well, that's another issue I wanted to get to, yeah.
Like, what they do is completely incoherent. A lot of it is just bandwagoning. Like, just look at the Charlie Kirk thing. Like, oh, let me jump on those coattails. I got to grab those coattails and go for a ride.
Because no one knows what their message is. And this is another thing I see in sometimes. Now, most...
Can you decipher it? What is their message?
Most... I don't know what it is. Most reactions I see is just people saying they're feds, honeypot, get the hell out. But occasionally, if you look at responses to their stuff, you'll see somebody saying something like, what is the... These guys don't even have any... One of the things that drives the suspicion is people are like, what are you actually about?
Yeah.
Here somebody says, these guys come... for some media attention, they never want people to join them. They're not a real group. It's such an obvious psyop. And that's another thing. It's like, how do you... Now, I know they always put their patriotfront.us or whatever up there.
Yeah, they want you to join, just not there. They want
they do want people to join.
Absolutely. That's why they do it. That's the point of it.
So here you go. Patriot Front. 40% retards being manipulated, 60% FBI agents in a false flag operation.
That's just not true.
Well, false flag? I mean, what's the what they haven't done to terrorism? I think doesn't false flag involve like some kind of attack or explosion or something? I don't know. It's very funny. Wake up, white man! It's time to get honey pot. And then someone is like, "This is just cringe." There's not a good response to this, and this is under AF Post.
Yeah, this is pederasty post. There, that's under.
Yeah. So again, look, this is just something I've thought for a long time. Maybe I've said it publicly off and on, but I'm telling you, like, I have always, one of the reasons I did stop defending them is because it's like, it's reasonable. From the perspective of an average conservative. Because the other question is, why are you, you got March for Life politics, right? You can do that without what you're doing. Hundreds of thousands of people, thousands of people go to the March for Life, maybe 10, 50, I don't know, a lot. Thousands, at least tens of thousands go to that every year. Millions of people agree with that. Big time thing, and people are, so what do they need Patriot Front for?
The other thing, like Patriot Front, the main reason we stopped defending them is because Thomas's rhetoric is meaningless because he's trying to straddle conservatism and white nationalism. And it's just kind of like, well, nobody believes you because you're lying to both sides. I don't trust you. You talk about Americans. It's like American is a meaningless identity. Anyone can be an American. That's the point of America. That's what they say. That's what everyone talks about. Like, so if you're going to talk about Reclaim America and you're basically from the left, it's like, well, that's, you can just be a MAGAtard. You can do that with any number of mainstream organizations. You just join a big mainstream thing and make a real effort. Not to say,
I've got the manifesto in big quotes.
Sure. What do you say, Alex?
I've got the manifesto.
Oh, the manifesto.
You could see their banner, and you could go to their website, and then you might ask yourself, well, what are they about? I should look at the manifesto.
No one's doing that in these places.
But if you do, what you're met with is not something coherent, tangible, that you can grasp and say, oh, this is what they're doing. What they say is this shit like this, like, our mission is a hard reset on the nation we see today.
Okay.
A return to the traditions and virtues of our forefathers. And that's about as cogent as it gets.
What does that mean?
The rest of it is incredibly vague.
Well, conservatives say that all the
time. Sounds like conservatism. Yeah, it sounds like conservatism.
Dude, you could go into any conservative meeting, rally, speaking event, whatever, for the last 100 fucking years and say, we need to return to the traditions and values of our founding fathers. And everybody would clap. Because that's just what that is.
Do they mean like opening coal mines and bringing in like wage slaves to work for a company store or receipts? Like, what do they mean?
It doesn't matter what they mean because it's
like,
just.
I know it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, like, there's a whole number of things that are like anti-human being that of American history that our forefathers when I think of like our forefathers like value system, I think of like wage slavery and extreme capitalism and slavery. Like, I don't mean slavery because being mean to slavery was bad for white people. And that's just when I look back, like, America was designed to be a slave market state. And it's like,
it's the greatest slave market in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like looking for declarative statements about what their mission actually is. And
they won't even say it's for whites.
Our national way of life faces complete annihilation, blah, blah. That's nothing. That's just whining. Our people have conquered injustice before, blah, blah. To form a new and just state, we must first instill a reformed national spirit within our people. Okay, well, that's fucking
Let me just say something real quick. I did a control F on white, and it doesn't come up.
No, specifically. It says, America has a unique national identity founded in European discovery and settlement. First of all, people that are conservatives and don't want, like, racism are going to see that dog whistle. And people who are like me, like, say that, like, why don't you just say it, nigga? I can't trust you. Like, I don't want to. There's a reason you don't say something like that.
Do you remember? But the thing is, you can say it now. Dude, Charlie Kirk said white more often than they do. He was further to the right than them. Like when they went on Patrick Bet-David, remember what he said? Mm-hmm. He said, why don't you just own being white first? He's like, you can't talk about America first. He's like, just, you're white first. Why don't you just own it? Because he was asking him, what about Americans that aren't white? And yes, there are Americans that aren't white and have every much
more
of a claim, frankly, saying they are an American as a white person. I don't really go for that America is a white thing. I understand why people do it. I think we are long past the 11th hour on that.
Whiteness exists as an identity, as a cope for this fact. That there's no American identity that's ethnic or race specific, so we had to come up with white further down the line to defend against with all this brown stuff that's been going.
Well, white means something. It legitimately means something. That's the thing.
But you can constantly challenge it. The reason that like smartass like liberals or Jews can come up to you with like edge cases, looking is this person white? Is that person? Is because it's not because it's a cope. Because it's a thing that we had to come up with. Because Americans had to come up with it as an emergency like defense against Jews destroying our country. It's because America is not a nation. We're just like mixed up mixed race Europeans, not mixed race, but mixed ethnicity Europeans with no identity.
But I don't buy that. White is an identity that means something. It's actually a thing.
So.
Because look at our own group of friends. No one is of this, like we're all mutts, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna invalidate what I am. As a white person, it's a real thing. Like it's a millions of people have this, so there's no reason.
You're enjoying what you're hearing. Please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. Therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Not to just group under something. It's all identities are constructed in. So this is ours. Whatever. I don't care. You could deconstruct anything like that. I'm not going to do that. My point is, like, they're not even representing that. There is this group of people that don't have anyone advocating for them. And in fact, the conservative movement itself saw that this was an increasing problem, that these people felt like they were disenfranchised and didn't have anything. And they've actually outflanked groups like Patriot Front, who are still in the old coding where they feel like they can't say it. Patrick Bet David was legitimately puzzled. Why don't you just own being white first? Like, I don't, like, he's almost like, no, you don't even get in trouble for that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, it's not a taboo anymore.
No.
It's just not.
Charlie Kirk was starting to talk about it because he was positioning himself.
I mean,
but I'm not even interested in, like, that. My point with this is for them, the reason this strategy of yours doesn't work. There is zero reason for somebody who is already comfortably ensconced in conservatism to do what you want, because you do not present anything different. You simply present the same thing they're already doing, just with a mask. And
you present conservatism with Fed vibes.
It doesn't
Fed vibe conservatism. That's what it is. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. And your manifesto is fucking stupid. They say stuff like, from within a society ruled by those become unable to foresee any horizon beyond themselves, our goal is to create a union of Americans building the future. Like, say something of substance here.
Say Jews run our country, and that's Jews run our country, and we want to unite as Americans to stop that. You don't say that.
Even like a civic nationalist, I would like a civic, multiracial, civic, like we're all Americans, but the Jews are the enemy. Like, that would be more respectable than this. You know, and
I would begrudgingly swallow that. I wouldn't, this stuff. I would try to be like, try to ignore that.
Like, isn't that like Gage was trying to do that for a little while or something? I don't know.
Well, Gage is, Gage is like everybody else. Like, you're sitting at your computer, like, you're not organizing anything, you're just saying empty words. So it's like, believe in what you want, but at least say stuff.
But
this is a group of like, this is like an activist group that puts, well, I was going to say puts their face out there. They do everything they can not to. They put a manifesto out there. The leader puts his face out there, and this is what they say. They have
the gall. The gall to use this George Patton quote: "Better to fight for something than to live for nothing." Well, there's nothing in this manifesto. There's nothing.
Nope. So, anyway. Again, the thing is, I didn't really even want to go down all that. That's all fine, but my main thing I wanted to say was just like, look, what is it that you are what. You know what I mean. I'm just saying it's conservatism. It just there's a reason that
Mike, we will organize patriots with an active and life encompassing loyalty to the nation.
But there are probably people like that that look at you and you're like, what the
what the fuck are you talking about?
What are you doing?
I know, right?
It's just word salad.
But the present state has lost the mantle legitimacy derived from the founding and must face alteration or abolition.
The current state has total legitimacy in that, like, The vast majority of people in the state are on the edge of their seats, engaged with the political process and validating it by voting in it on either side. It's not illegitimate. There is no, like, as far as Americans are concerned, the system is fine, and maybe their preferred party isn't in charge right now, but no one thinks it's invalid. No one thinks it's invalid because of COVID. No one thinks it's invalid because of 2020.
This raises the question, right? You're reading this manifesto because you're curious about Patriot Front. You want to join them. You're like, okay, well, are you planning to abolish the current state? Are you what are you doing? You don't say. There's nothing in here about what your actual specific goal is. They say their goal is to effect the formation of a republic which reflects a reforged spirit among our people.
Right. I mean, that doesn't
mean anything. That's gobbledygook. It doesn't mean anything.
But, like, here's what I'll say about this whole thing. The system, from the perspective of lots of people, is not legitimate. It is totally unclear what you do about it. Nobody understands. It is an utterly sclerotic and a unresponsive system. The system will respond in terms of how... However, the mask of democracy and the public battle over ideas, the culture war, is what actually gives people the feeling of engagement with the system.
Mm-hmm.
So you do culture war, and Dems do it, Republicans do it, and both of them feel like it goes back and forth. It does go back and forth, and right now Republican conservatism is on the top in that culture war. I've seen it shift a couple of times in my life. And the side that's on the down, they never lose, they're never out, they're down, they're against the ropes, but they're never down. And they're going to come back swinging, you know, with a hard haymaker and an uppercut and a shot to the belly or whatever the hell you want to do. But you always feel like it's everything's crashing down around you when that, and that's why I think that's one of the reasons I think Antifa is actually starting to shoot people. But in everyone's mind, like, it's totally unsatisfactory. They want to change everything, particularly political people. No one's like, America's great, this is just fine. But the thing is, though, that the kinds of people you want to recruit, there's nothing that you can promise them that actually. Not only the conservative movement itself can't promise them, but can also sort of deliver on. This Antifa radicalized Antifa assassin. Well, he's going to go to fucking jail and maybe be executed by the government. The government put like armed men on the street, like a dragged out investigation till they caught him for a day.
Well,
that was done.
Hold on.
They didn't have your help. They didn't need it. Deep state conspiracy to let him go.
They didn't catch anything. He fucking confessed.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's
they
fair.
Had
that's
nothing. Fair. They had nothing. They were babes in the woods. They were totally lost. Cash Patel at his cross eyes looking in different directions. Nothing was seeing a suspect. They had grainy video. Like, the funniest thing is people passing around these like still shots of this or that surveillance video and saying, how could they not have this? How could they not have it? It's like, because it's completely incompetent and there's just nothing there. If he hadn't confessed, we would be talking about, you know, the conspiracy theories would be hot and heavy about the cover up, or because, you know, they had nothing. That's why the Onion put out I saw a hilarious Onion headline this morning. I think I saw it. It was like, FBI Cash Patel asks Charlie Kirk's assassin's family if they have any information on any other unsolved crimes they can help.
Okay.
Which is fucking great.
This actually bolsters my point. So the point I'm making is, though, the incompetency is not really was the competency or not wasn't kind of my point is they wanted to do it.
Sure.
They put teams out to do it. Like, there is no section of the state that did not want this killer caught. Right. There's no element of it. Like, you saw even the liberal sections of the state wanted this guy caught. Like, we saw Ezra Klein and Ben Shapiro are powwowing on how we can have everybody be friendly again and all this shit. So there was no conspiracy against it. Like, there's no deep state thing. Like, this was a guy who was either a lone nut or maybe had a few accomplices and that's it. And also, I never believed for a second they were never going to get him. Like, that guy was going to get caught no matter what. Eventually they were always going to get him. I just don't think realistically you can get away with something like that. It's not like Val Kilmer and the Saint. And even if, just because of the exact reasons of why it happened, is that he fucking started flapping his like upper maxillary gums, and then somebody went and told the cops. But my point is that, like, the president was personal friends with this guy. Everybody is eulogizing him. It's not radical. You're not doing anything radical, dissident, different. Right. You're not challenging in any way. You don't even have a good narrative on Charlie Kirk that's better, different, or in any way differentiates you from
not at all
normal, basic conservatism. So that is why. That's really my only... I wasn't even interested in doing all this other stuff, but like, that's the only point I wanted to make. I understand why conservatives think you guys are feds. I just... It is a reasonable conclusion to draw if you are a normal conservative at a normal... approved, in fact, not just approved, but like effectively on the culture war winning side right now. Is not going to win forever. The liberals are going to be back. Mm-hmm. But right now, the dominant culture war side, which is conservatism, if you're at an event for that, and then these people show up and you're like, what the fuck is... There's no reason. Particularly given that they're dominant, there's even less reason. They feel like they're winning. So anyway, yeah. And this is what I think is the problem. Again, you could also just say, like, well, you're asking us to do something that's just not going to work. See, I'm not asking you to do anything.
You're already doing something that's not going to work.
Right. Like, yeah. Yes. And so, but the thing is, you're not, if it's going to work, then people should just be conservatives. Right. Cause you're not, it's just conservatism with a mask. And that's what ultimately our major critique. It's not even just Patriot Front. Like, so much of white nationalism is this.
It's all conservatism.
I think there was that other group. There was that other group that was like, had his portrait, and they were saying, like, say his name. And I'm like, that is some...
Yeah, that was Ryan. Culture War Criminals. Yeah, they were together with them. I don't remember what group. I don't know what group that was, but that was Culture War Criminals, a little march through Huntington.
If you had told me, like, back in 2016 or so, that far rightists would be out there in the street with photos of Charlie Kirk demanding that somebody say his name, I would fall out of my chair. I'd be like, Yeah, right. Well, that alt-light cuck.
If you told me that, then I would be saying, oh, then so we lose then?
Yeah, right? Right.
Yeah, that's what that means. That's just an L, right?
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like, if the outcome of the alt-right is like eulogizing Charlie Kirk as one of a fallen... So I was like, I guess so that means we lose. I guess that means it didn't work.
I mean, I guess we've banged on about Patriot Front long enough. The only thing I would add to that is if I were normie conservative and I went to their website and read their manifesto, I would definitely think they were feds.
They don't even do that.
As a politically conscious person, I read it and it looks like incoherent gobbledygook. Dude, but to a
there are people that are like, I'm going to be put on a list if I go to this website.
You read it and you come away with it like, this seems suspicious. Yeah. They won't tell me what they're actually about.
I've seen that critique. Mm-hmm. Usually conservatives aren't thoughtful enough for that, right? Like, I'm serious. Like, usually conservatives are not. They are creatures of, like, visceral reacts. So they just see that, and they're like, that's feds. It's just they don't even need to go any further. But there are those that are then curious, and then when they look, they're like, what? So did they just not put much work into this? Like... You know, did whatever like FBI office is doing this just decide like they're just phoning it in on this? Like, what's going on? So yeah, it's I don't know, dude. It's just whatever. But they'll come back and they'll be like, yeah, but NJP and all this stuff. Like, look, I did things very differently. In terms of how I wanted to do the presentation of NJP events and the way we showed ourselves and the fact that
NJP
I was, like,
simply exists as a way for these people to get out of like owning their mistakes and their wrong,
which
ideas
is fine.
But I want to say this. But though. I'm saying like you're doing it. Like if you have to bring up NJP when you're debating, it means you lost. You're losing. Again, you don't want to acknowledge. You want to talk. You're talking shit instead of debating. But I've seen people try to bring up.
Yeah, of course. That's all they would do.
Like people that are like whiteoids are doing like a Zionism in my mentions, and they start mentioning NJP. It's like, oh, so you're not very confident in your Zionism.
They always do that.
Right.
There are people that will agree and like our stuff.
Doesn't make you right.
Then they'll say that.
But in fact, it confirms how wrong you are when you do that.
See, here's the thing. I saw something wasn't working, and there was other reasons it wasn't working. But the street activism stuff definitely was not working. And it wasn't working because, well, one, I had a couple of rules, and you can say those rules absolutely like limited numbers, and they probably did. And that's another reason why it wasn't going to work. But I wasn't going to compromise on that. I was like, we're not going to join coalitions. We're not going to go out without a message. Like, if we're going to do it, we're going to have a message. We're going to have a reason. We're going to have a demand. We're going to have an issue. And we're not going to join coalitions, and we're not going to like stand with other groups because we don't know what kinds of shit people might do that we don't want to be associated with, right? And so we're not going to do conservatism. We're not going to do any appeals to conservatism. We're not going to huff conservative farts. We're not going to try to bandwagon off of it. We're not going to appeal to those sentiments in order to try to trick people into doing our thing. We're going to tell them, no, we are white nationalists. That's what we were using that term at the time. White nationalists. We are trying to create a white country and defeat Jewish power.
Right.
And that was something that
second part was, you know, the big problem. That second part was like, whoa, wait, what?
I mean, if you all look at all my speeches, all my public speeches, like every single one of them, every single one was like a 40 to 50 minute, 30 minute attack just on Jews. And that was the fundamental issue. And so, look, you can go ahead and say you didn't do it either. Fine. But I'm just telling you, like, that shit, I know it doesn't work because I tried it. And when I realized it doesn't work, I stopped. Because I was like, this is not giving. We actually did data analysis and all that dumb shit. And yeah, it's like, oh, wow. Let me tell you, March and Wayne Grow is not something that works. and I can easily tell you, and I know that this is a strategy. I remember years ago, the Maryland guy, Max Macro, who was doing,
I remember that guy. Holy shit.
He was doing weird shit. And then he was doing TWP, right?
Before TWP, and then like he hated TWP, then he joined TWP.
He hated TWP. It doesn't matter.
Weird.
I just remember was the first person I ever heard say "March and Grow." It doesn't matter that's a distraction. But then I know that TWP was using that "March and Grow, March and Grow." And I heard from Alan that was also something that they would
older guys would say
back in the day, right? "March and Grow, March and Grow." And the idea behind "March and Grow" is you do a big demonstration. Get media attention, get recruits from it. Do a demonstration, get media attention, get recruits, right? Seems to make sense. The problem is, once you get to like your second or third demonstration, it becomes march and shrink.
Yeah.
I didn't make it that way. I wouldn't have it that way if I could change reality. But as soon as what happens is that you don't have, as you said, there's just not enough people. So when you go, you get like 50 people, maybe you grow to 100, maybe you go to 100, maybe you grow to like 200-300 people. Once you're at that level, now you're going to get targeted with all kinds of Antifa, gay ops, Fed, honeypots. Like, just the next time you show up, they are like, look at Charlottesville. Yep. Charlottesville took them. Charlottesville's 1,500 people. It's not that big, but it took them by utter fucking surprise. And one of the reasons was because there was no previous thing, right? It was just like suddenly, boom, Charlottesville. Like, it was just like all these people just went, because the first Charlottesville was only like 50 people and just went off without a hitch because we snuck in and we snuck out. So then what happens is like they get Antifa, they get police, they set it up, and then a bunch of guys get hemmed up in lawsuits, get hemmed up with charges. The media makes it look like a shit show. People drift away, and then nobody wants to come around anymore. And I had developed an idea to specifically avoid that. And by specifically avoiding that, nobody looked at anything we did. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Another thing happens when you have that little bit of growth, that makes a certain element of the group think that, like, all right, now what? Look at what's happening. And people start to think that management is fucking things up, and they start to form little factions around other personalities of the thing that are being critical of, and then suddenly, like, now it's going to collapse into that. People will get a splinter. Happens all the time.
Politics always does this. This happens in all political groups, and the thing is, you need to have enough money, structure, people, and loyalists and such that you can weather all of that and you can control all of that. And white nationalism just doesn't have that. No. Every single white nationalist could get on the same page, maybe, because there probably is a few hundred thousand, if not more, people that actually hate.
Well, they're on the same page with MAGA.
Be white.
They're on the MAGA page,
but
they keep going.
They keep this shit keeps working, right? The shit they're doing keeps working.
Right.
Yeah, like in the end, it's sort of like having an organization that was like perfectly designed to avoid gay ops also just didn't work, because like it didn't matter then. You know, it's sort of funny. I was like, from the outset, I was like, we have to avoid all gay ops, and we're going to avoid all public fucking shit show meltdowns. Like something like we're going to be seen running from Antifa, getting our asses beat, or just in fights, or just some shit show meltdown like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which never happened, but then nobody cared. So, yeah, the thing that actually was attracting attention is this. What we're doing right here. This is what was attracting attention. This is what was getting ears and eyes and
still is.
Was this right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my little thing on that. So go ahead. Well, people can say.
Yeah. The other thing to say here is like, you do have these little groups that run around. Don't get caught up in their bullshit, because these groups, they generally might have a few dozen, maybe up to 200 people. That's about it. It's about
there
as
I'm just saying, do whatever you want. I'm just telling you.
What we were doing before NJP was the thing that needs to happen. It's just like people come together because of a social reason. And in our case, it was because of a podcast show. And they form social bonds. And just like, you get as many people as possible. And that's all it is. There's no requirements other than if something bad happens. And the more and more people that came into that, but it's like there were so many people, even with that, like, hands-off approach we had, where it was like very loose, there were people coming in like, well, I'm starting a serious thing, and start making rumblings of like, well, this isn't a real thing that you're a part of. You need to become a part of it. And then it becomes fights and it doesn't work. And so I don't know what to do about it.
But that's what I'm saying is that serious thing is not serious. It doesn't materialize anything.
Because the same ideas every time. The serious thing.
Same bullshit.
The serious thing says you've got all these guys together. Why aren't you doing anything? Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, six-monthly, or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening with them. It's like because it's like two dozen guys per state at best.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with that. So we're just going to do where we're friends and we all know each other and it'll grow, you know.
One of the things I said, and if you read Mein Kampf, Hitler says this too, and it's slightly different, was I was saying like, look, you can get 100 people in America, if you have two people in every state, easy. You could start a white nationalist group with, and you get 100 people like that, two people in every state, right? Or something like that. Get 100 people in one state. Get 100 people in one state.
That's still not enough.
Try it. No, it's not enough, but I'm saying try it.
You can't do that. I mean, unless you cheat by go to New York City. You can get 100 guys in New York City. You can get 100 guys in Chicago.
I mean,
we did.
You can find 100 people that are white nationalists. Can you get them in under one umbrella? No.
Oh.
No.
Not to mobilize and do anything, but to be like a social.
Sure. There's easily hundreds of white nationalists.
To socialize.
There's thousands and thousands. Yeah, sure. Sure.
But this fucking Iowa and do it.
Or just, you could do it.
Go to where everyone's white. Go to Waukesha. You couldn't get two people in Waukesha
to join a
white nationalist group after what's-his-face's like murder there. I always forget that guy's name.
Should I talk about this, man? Daryl Brooks.
Yeah.
We went to Waukesha. See, the thing is, I feel people are just going to be like, this is all just like black pills. I'm not, it's like, I'm just telling you.
No, it's reality. It's reality. It's not black
pills. It's reality, and that's what we're talking about.
Do you guys remember that documentary about the Waukesha terror?
Yeah, I remember that.
We had Spectre go out and do like man on the street interviews. And talk to people in Waukesha about the attack. Most people didn't want to talk about it. Some people did. And as soon as he brought up race or whites or anything, they ran away from it and they just spent the rest of the interview arguing, fighting, and struggle sessioning with him about whether or not it was about whites. They wouldn't even agree that he had a racial motive. And they were ideologically arguing that either he definitely didn't or there's no way you could ever know, so it's pointless to talk about. All of it left on the cutting room floor. Couldn't use a single bit of it because the point of that was to find people, even if you blurt out their faces in the final product, that would be willing to say, yes, this was an attack on white people. This is a racial attack, which it obviously was.
It was. It and, very much was.
There is no question that was a racial attack on whites, and those people did not want to know it. It actually was very depressing. I remember when we were editing, when we were putting it together, I was like, we can't use any of this.
Yeah.
And so we just tossed it out. It was, you know, put on a brave face, kept going. You want to know? I'm going to tell you another funny story about Waukesha. We went to the second time we went, right? We went back for, I think there was a court date or something. And we had more people that time. And we went to Milwaukee and we went to Waukesha. We actually did a dumb thing. We like split up. We had a small number of people and we split up. I was like, why should we should all be in one place, but whatever. We had some funny interactions in Milwaukee, but then we went in Waukesha the second time. One guy came up. One guy who was there at the parade and was actually a really nice guy and talked to us and chatted and said, yeah, this is awful and all that stuff, right? So we had a few interactions like that. One guy came up real interested. Really, right. Really, really interested. And he was talking and chatting, and I was looking at him like, something about this guy. And he took the literature that we had and he drove off and he comes back like 20 minutes later and he's like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? Because he was a Jew. Ha! He was a Jew. And see, the thing is, that's why he was the one interested in politics, right? He wanted to, he saw something. He saw people doing a thing. He was like, yeah. What they are, they're doing this. They hate us, all this stuff. He thought that we could be recruits for Zionism.
Right.
And when we gave him the literature and he went off and then he literally came back fuming at us, screaming. We were just like, yo, get the fuck out of here.
That's hilarious.
Like, just like, we're not dealing with this. Get out of here right now. And he just turned around and left. But like, I was like, don't, nobody fight with this guy. Don't, you go, bro, you get the fuck out. That's it. And then he did. But it was like, I had a fucking feeling he was a Jew and I didn't say anything. I saw people talking to him and then they gave him the literature and they went off. And then, yeah, blackpilling, right? But again, I'm not trying to blackpill you. I'm just telling you. But it makes sense that would happen.
Right.
Because that Jew was on the lookout.
It does make sense.
That Jew was on the lookout for potential recruits to Zionism. And
also,
frankly, he met with the one group that wasn't that.
Can we stop talking like children? We're not trying to blackpill anyone. This is how it is out there. People aren't really interested in the real shit. People don't want to be organized, but they don't want to be organized into this kind of thing. They don't want to do it. They want what's going on right now. They want the vibe. They want to look at cable news, social media. That, like, if you're a right winger in America today, you're having your best day. A guy has been martyred, and you get the virtue signal about how great he is. You can go and you can get people fired that are leftists. You can get your sweet revenge for all the times that they fucked with right wingers, a few years ago. And you get to have this wonderful time. They don't need to be talking about white people saying uncomfortable things about Jews and like marching around in public unless it's for like normal conservative things, unless it's like March for Life and stuff like that.
Well, here's another thing I'll say. It wasn't like that everywhere. That was the particular response we got in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, Minnesota, Wisconsin are some of the, like, frankly, the worst places. Like, they are really bad. We went down to, what was it, when Jamie White got shot, was that north of South Carolina?
South Carolina, I believe.
The white people there liked it.
They didn't
they
join.
Were like
they didn't join.
They didn't join. No, they so didn't
like,
join.
Like,
they were like, "Fuck these niggers."
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. My point is though.
But even the point is like even them they didn't join. The father of the little girl that he dove in for, like he didn't join. People just don't want to do it. They just don't want to do it. And you have to say like it's not like something different could have been done. Where this like it's not like this was defeat snatched from the jaws of victory. It's like no, it's just not there. White people aren't there. They want to be Republicans. Even white nationalists do.
Well, it's not even that. It's that there's nothing outside of the Republican Party that's convincing. So here's the thing. They absolutely liked it, right? Like the people down there responded well. They were angry. They knew about the shooting. They were angry about it. They knew he was black. They knew it was the people were white. They were racially aware. They were like, fuck niggers. They were people that were walking up to the demonstration talking like, yeah, these fucking niggers and their shit, right? It's the South. They've been like that forever. And Jamie White, actually himself, we spoke with him. He didn't really want to say like fuck niggers, but like he was, you know, but then eventually he just didn't respond to us anymore. And I was kind of like, well, in a way he doesn't really have any reason to anymore. Right. Because what can we do for him? You know, we raised money for him and his hospital bill, and I don't regret that.
He was not
a wealthy man. He had no money.
That's a great thing, but it's like...
Fine. And he was a hero. He was objectively a hero. He jumped in front of a bullet for his daughter. I can't think of a more heroic act. So, eventually he just... We couldn't... There's nothing we could do for him anymore, and why would he... You know, he needed his family wrapped up in more shit. So it just was what it was, but the people... It's not like everywhere we went, people were like, what the fuck? Down there, people were. But again, that's just, you go down North Carolina and be like, fuck these niggers, and you're going to get like a bunch of people, yeah, fuck these fucking niggers. You know? Like, it's just, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, the issue is the way that we have gotten a group of people that are ideologically on board with us is doing what we're doing right now. Doing this show, doing this podcast, putting out these ideas, arguing with people, that's how we have convinced the people that we had, the thousands of people that we have convinced to our point of view and our worldview that it's been through this. The public demonstrations have never done it. That's kind of my point. Public demonstrations actually are almost anti-propaganda for your cause if they are. In fact, I think generally speaking, you run a very large risk of a public demonstration becoming anti-propaganda if it's not done correctly. Tommy Robinson gets to do public demonstration that's pro-propaganda, but that's not because of him. It's nothing to do with him personally. And there's also people that want to do a thing like, as if it's like there's something deficient with you personally or me personally or any other person personally, or there's something so great about Stephen Yaxley Lennon. I guarantee you I'm smarter and better at rhetoric and all this stuff than him. I guarantee fucking to you, right? And it's not like Charlie Kirk, despite the fact that I say he was a charismatic, good public speaker. That's also not why his organization got big. Jewish funding and support from the media. If they put you on TV, if they put you on radio, if they put you on the established channels, even presented as an outsider, give you the platform, let you talk, show you as somebody who's a thing that you can be a thing with, that will attract support. And particularly when there is a lot of people mad about immigration in the UK, because that's mainly what that demonstration was about, is anti-immigration. Which is in a way, I guess people are like, that in and of itself is good. And I'm like, I guess that in and of itself is good. But the problem is, what's bad is that that is being directed into a Zionist organization. That is my whole point. I agree with you. You would not have been able to get 100,000 people at an anti-immigration demonstration like 10 years ago. In fact, you probably wouldn't have been able to get 1,000 people. But you can get it now. Why? Because the people that are angry about that have been brought into a thing, into a Jewish media operation that is meant to direct their energies behind Zionism. That's why you have 100,000 people in London doing that. I don't like it any more than you, but that's what it is. They destroyed the BNP, and now they have this. The BNP was legit. It was real. You could attack Nick Griffin. You could attack Mark Collette personally. I don't care. That was an actual group that wanted to take Britain back for the British, for the white people, the English, the Welsh, the Scottish. They wanted to do that. They were legit. That's what they were about. And they got 6% of the vote in that one election. I've never heard of anything like that before for white nationalism.
Yeah.
Utterly destroyed through gay ops. And now you get Nigel Farage coming in with the UK Independence Party. That fucking went under. Now he's got reform. And now you have this Tommy Robinson fake shit. And Tommy Robinson was part of the intelligence operation to destroy the BNP. He tried the honey. He tried to entrap them by bringing niggas to their meetings, hoping that they would kick him out among other gay ops, which they were smart enough not to, because they knew that it was illegal for them to say, you can't come in if you're a nigger. And that would give the authorities all the reason in the world to shut them down. But in the end, you know, you could, The issue, this is now the issue that needs to be defeated, addressed, overcome. I don't know how to do it either. But this is why I don't bandwagon with conservative stuff, because it is not going in the way that we are pressuring this and we they are finding us, and they are sucking us up into their thing.
Yeah, you're on their bandwagon. They're not getting on yours. Like, this is great. This is another like political Groundhog Day thing. Joining with conservatives just means you've joined the conservatives. They don't. You're just another body to them, because they have like the biomass, and you don't. They don't need to listen to you. They do want you on board, because not having the white nationalists on board was the difference in 2020, I believe, completely. It was not fraud. It was just like back. It was broad. It was broad consensus amongst the white right, or whatever you want to call it, that we're not voting for this guy again. This sucks. We're staying home. And they managed to turn that around through 4 years of COVID and other weird shit, where they got everybody back on board with like, oh my God, we've learned our lesson. Let's help. Look how bad the country is by not voting for a Republican. It would be so much better. Now,
Biden being a legitimate total disaster was didn't help. But yeah, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, but so that's kind of my point. Like,
oh, I was meant to say. So the reason, sorry. So now they do like sort of maintain a narrative vibe. They do come back with rhetoric. They do, as you've said, they have adjusted to this public pressure to be a little, to throw more bones at white people so that you'll stay, invested in the Republican Party. They're not going to give you any, they're not going to give you anything of substance, but they will give you, all of the Stephen Miller sound bites and video clips on Fox News that you need to think the administration is fighting for the rights and the well-being of white folk, when they're not. They're just fighting for, they're fighting for your vote in 2026, and then your vote for J.D. Vance in 2028. And if you go look at the paid field shills, they're all about shilling J.D. Vance, trying to meme his wife into not being a disgusting Indian. I guess they're not talking about his children yet, but it's like his son Vivek. It was named after Vivek Ramaswamy. It's like
that's another thing.
Like, this is what the white right is doing, and this is what they want you on board for. Whereas the conservative doesn't really see the problem with Indians, because they're just conservatives. They like everybody. Anybody that has the message, you know, running, you know, coursing through their veins of conservatism, they're happy with. And they're even a little bit happy to have like a white nationalist, as long as you keep that weird like Jew stuff or racist stuff kind of to yourself. You know what I mean?
They actually don't even really give that much of a shit. Like, no. They want you to keep that to yourself if they see that as an impending threat. They don't see that as a threat right now. In fact, they are willing to. They are even willing to incorporate elements like you saw Charlie Kirk. Right? Why did Charlie Kirk do that thing about Jews and Hollywood? Right? Why did he even do rhetoric like that?
He talked about Jews being leftists, and that's not what they are.
Yeah, I understand, but it's enough, right? It's enough. It's something you never thought you would hear. Something you never thought you'd hear conservatives say, isn't it? You never thought you'd heard him say that. Hear conservatives say that. We're making progress. He's like us, is he? I'm not a Zionist. It's funny. Somebody said to me when I posted those clips. And I was like, let me break down what he's really saying. I was like, look, he gives PR advice to the IDF. He literally gave the Israeli state like PR advice. Mm-hmm. Then he talks about, oh, these Jewish liberals need to wake up. And he celebrates some Jews who, like some Jew who tweeted, this is October 26, 2023. He celebrated some Jew that switches sides. Somebody says to me, you know, we all went through this phase. I'm like, you went through a phase of giving PR advice to the IDF? maybe you did. Like,
I was arguing with somebody yesterday. Revenant's a fucking retard. But anyway,
yeah. Is he the guy who didn't know that reify was a word, or is that somebody else you're arguing with?
No, that was another retard.
All right, the person that like came after you for using the term reify, the word reify, saying it's not a word, dumbass. I'm just like, oh my god, facepalm yourself off this website. Reify. Anyway, go ahead with the Revenant. Revenant is a retard. All right, I penned a little response to one of your Revenant discussions this morning itself. Go ahead.
So Revenant posts this Charlie Kirk clip. He does this bit where he's like, you can't even mentally model the internal structure of other people. It's like, I actually can, and your enemies do it better than you do as well. But anyway, a Charlie Kirk clip is him talking about the aftermath of October 7th and doing the bit about how, well, Israel must have let this happen, or there's a lie hop or something like that involved. And I'm like, if you're going out there and trying to establish that and promote this idea, All you're doing, let's use reify, it's a great word. You're reifying Israeli state power. You're saying that Israel is so strong, they must have let it happen, which itself is Zionist propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what irregardless you're doing. Of your reification. I'm sorry.
Irregardless. Irregardless, yeah. Yeah, I mean, to say that Charlie Kirk was like raising questions or critiquing Jews this way is wrong. It's not what he's doing propagandistically. What he's doing is making it seem like you can't stop Israel, so you should just side with Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why they do that.
That's what Matt Parrott says.
Jews know that you are a spineless little rightoid with no morals, and you will instinctively side with whoever seems to be the strongest in a given conflict.
It also means like Jews are so strong. If they ever get hurt, they must have let it happen to themselves because they can't ever be hurt.
That's the
so
origin.
So if you ever any opposition to Jews is something. And again, this the brainworm of this, which we got this. We also were called this too. And one of the funniest things that has happened to me in these circles is that the more militant you are in your rhetoric about Jews, and the more insistent you are about the Jewish Gentile distinction, and the more you make that an issue, like the more likely you are to just be called a Jew.
Yep.
Which to me, I'm like, so what? What's the theory of mind behind that? Well, it's probably Jews doing fucking gay ops, or at least playing on somebody else to get them to do it, right? Because it's like, and then you even get, I've seen this too, even outside of talking to one of us, if you look at some sort of, I've seen internal conservative discussions on places like Twitter where they talk about anti-Semitism stuff, and like, isn't it interesting that the worst anti-Semites always end up themselves being Jewish? And I'm like, okay, I'm actually interested in this because that's not true, but I want to know what conclusions you draw from that. Like, where does that, like, let's say you think that, where does that take you?
What are you talking about? From that? That's what I don't know. Who do you mean?
You know what I'm talking about? You've seen this though, right? You know what I'm talking about, this phenomena of people that say this. And so I'm like,
Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail.
I can generally have a theory of mind about most people. There are some things that do puzzle me. It's one of these things I'm like, so have you drawn, if you're suggesting that anti-Semites, vocal anti-Semites, are always Jewish, I can think of a few ways this could go. You could be saying, well, Jews are using anti-Semitism to their own benefit. I see this all the fucking time on the Palestine left. You being anti-Semitic plays into their hands. They want us to be anti-Semitic. They can come after us. Like, they absolutely can come after you, anti-Semitic or not Palestinians. Like Palestinian activists in the West, they do not need you to go out and say you like Hitler. They do not need you to say the enemy of the Palestinian people is Jews. They don't need any of that. One, they'll accuse you of it, but they're not even doing that. They're accusing you of being anti-Semitic, sure. But like, they don't, your behavior has nothing to do with that. Opposing Israel is all that it is. So, in other words, like, you're not getting points for not being anti-Semitic, is my point. You're not, what you're doing is you're pleasing Jews in your camp. You're actually letting the Jews in your camp get what they want. So this whole idea, if we're like, what, here's my question to Palestinian left-wing Palestinian activists. What gets worse? What gets worse if you're anti-Semitic? They're bombing the shit. They're trying to fucking kill everyone in Gaza. They're destroying every fucking structure in Gaza City as we record this show.
Yep.
The JDAMs are flying. The Mark 84s are flying. Yep. They are knocking down every fucking two-story and above structure, if not every one-story and above structure in Gaza City right now.
With the full faith and credit of the U.S. government and military, but behind it. That's the only reason
what
they can
gets
do it.
Worse if Our they country catch you out as being an anti-Semite? And this is mostly like people that are not Palestinians but are on board with that kind of thing from a left-wing perspective in America that spend like 90% of their fucking time telling you not to be anti-Jewish. That's a strange thing.
What an odd thing to say.
I don't know how we got onto that. So just to say, like, white nationalists aren't the only ones that are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But, look, this is a tough thing to deal with. I don't know what to do about it. My point is, here's the way you do it. Here's my only idea. Just exclude Jews. Just say no. If someone is Jewish, then you don't deal with them. That is corrupted. Anything with a Jew is corrupted. There's no good Jews. Don't let them into your thing. Something particular with a Jew in leadership position? No. Something with a Jew trying to crawl his way up to a leadership position? Get rid of them.
Yep. Back to like Revenant. So I saw this stuff that...
No, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's like, this is sort of what's going on out there. He's like, Peter Thiel boogeyman stuff is so stale. Grassroots activism doesn't accomplish anything. There's always the benefactor. No one ever explains why this rich guy supported something is automatically disqualifying. They just say it over and over again. So, like the shilling for...
Wait, say it again. I'm trying to...
He's trying to, I don't know.
Revenant's positions just neatly map onto whatever Sean Hannity is saying. That's all he is at this point.
Well, he's trying to dispense with the notion that Peter Thiel is bad. That Peter Thiel's hands in something don't mean that it's bad.
I get what it is. Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's like, but he's talking about a grassroots activism doesn't accomplish anything. But then later on, as we scroll down, I guess people that were involved with us were there. Because he uses the old term, he uses TR sodomites. It's like, it's TRSoids now? It's TRSoids now? You're not supposed to say that?
Dude, you're defending a literal fucking sodomite.
I know, it's fraught. It doesn't really work.
Well, no, he'll try to shrink back from that and be like, I'm not really defending. You must be stupid if you think I'm defending Peter Thiel. Like, you are, though.
You are. No, it's like, you are. Wait,
can you read the tweet again? What did he say again?
You're defending him with extra steps.
The Peter Thiel boogeyman stuff is stale. Grassroots activism doesn't accomplish anything. There's always a benefactor. No one ever explains why this rich guy supported something is automatically disqualifying. They just say it over and over. It's like, well, what's he supporting? There's nothing in it for what he's supporting. There's nothing in it for me.
Oh, yeah, that's a not. Yeah, no. But I get it. Yeah, if there's you need money and stuff behind your thing for it to get. Sure, fine. I'll agree with that. No, it's Peter Thiel that's bad. I will explain why he in particular is bad. Like money behind things to support it. Sure. That's a straw man. There might be some people doing that. I'm not doing that, and I've seen plenty of other people who aren't doing it. They object to Peter Thiel because of who he is and what he is doing.
Right.
It's not just like I'm against rich people. No one's doing I'm against rich people doing stuff or something like
that.
See,
he goes on, like, do we think Charlie Kirk would have ever had as much impact as he did if he didn't have wealthy donors? It's like his impact was in Zionism, outreach for Zionism. Zionism is bad. If something supports Zionism, I don't care how rich or poor it is. I don't care how grassroots or mainstream it is. It's not. But then he goes through and he later contradicts himself. Can TR sodomites name a single time that grassroots movement succeeded without backing? It's like you just said that grassroots movements don't succeed. So which is it? Because you're not in a grassroots movement with backing. Like with Peter Thiel and the Republican, you are in a mainstream American slop movement of you're just a Republican voter. There's no grassroots. There's no movement. There's nothing. There's just a political campaign to widen. The Republicans are redistricting states to gain more seats in Congress. They are going to have majorities from here on out as long as Israel needs to prosecute its failing war. Like that's what's happening. It's not grassroots. It's not an uprising. It's not popular support. It's not even AstroTurf. It's just what the system is doing right now. You're just one of the teams is winning and the other is losing.
But that's kind of like his point is on the factual. Yes, grassroots movements. There is no ability for a grassroots movement in America to do anything. And if it starts getting, I don't know, how a grassroots movement would even start getting popular without some kind of wealthy donor benefactor, somebody putting it, getting it media, getting it attention, like everything is, in a way, ultimately, given the way the media environment is structured, has that kind of thing.
But you see, he tried to rebrand what Peter Thiel's doing. He tried to rebrand it as a grassroots movement with his support. It's like, no, it's not. It's just Peter Thiel's thing. Like, Peter Thiel is grooming people to put into places of power so that, like, Palantir and his projects get more contracts and God knows what other, like, evil things. Like, it's not, there's no grassroots, there's no legitimacy. It's just, it's corporate slot politics, and you're a participant in it as a fucking slot merchant on Twitter. Right. And doing petty boundary maintenance around it because people don't buy it, and you so have to be like, how dare you? What do you want to just keep being poor? I guess so, but don't sit here and say this is a grassroots movement. It's
I don't
not.
Think that's what he's saying. What he's saying is like your critique of it. He's lying that the critique is that this has money behind it, therefore it's bad. Nobody is saying that. We are saying the guy with money is bad. The ideology being promoted is bad. We are attacking it for what it is. Not he's telling you, he's trying to get it like, you just hate money and rich people funding stuff. But how are you going to get anything done without rich people? But standard NRX shit. Fine. But I am attacking Peter Thiel as a person for his beliefs and what he is funding. And I am attacking the groups he is funding because I disagree with the things that are being funded. Like, it's not like he wants it to be an argument over like the nature of power.
And he lost that argument and he tried to shift it over who is like the legitimate grassroots movement, which I am saying.
Oh, okay, I didn't.
No,
all right, fine.
You are not,
that
like,
wasn't
you went
evident in the first tweet. Sorry. Okay. We don't need to fight. We're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page. This guy fucking sucks. Page. And his entire existence is around just trying to position himself as being like a slightly edgy Republican boy.
Well,
like I'm a little bit of decoration. I'm going to put on some flair that makes
me. You
look
send me a link. I want to see where he goes in that thread, because if he's initially just doing the like, I'm gonna clear pill you on how this works, right? You need to have your wealthy donor and benefactor. Like, I actually 100% agree. In America, if you don't have some rich guy or group of rich people funding and promoting your shit, you're probably not going to go anywhere. Now, it's not even just Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is in alliance with a whole bunch of other people too.
Yep.
That are also rich and are also Jewish and gay and black, kind of crazy. So yeah, but
you're Jewish.
That doesn't mean I have to like it. That's the funny thing.
Which is cool.
Okay. So
and I'm black too. And gay. It's kind of crazy, huh?
Crazy, right?
See, sorry. I'm just looking at the first tweet here. No, I don't make this argument ever. Rich guys supported something is automatic. No one does. I don't, and I don't know. I don't actually see many people do it. I see them saying Peter Thiel is a faggot and a Zionist. And he says, "Do we think Charlie Kirk would ever have had much of an impact if he didn't have wealth?" No, of course he would never. He would never in a million years have had any impact without wealthy donors. As good as he is, let's say he's the god tier debater, most charismatic man alive. His character spawned onto map. He rolled 18 charisma score from the beginning, straight up, right? Wouldn't matter. Would not mean shit without his wealthy donors and benefactors. 100% agree. So what? I disagree with the goals of his benefactors and him and his organization. And I don't need to explain rich guy supporting something being bad. The thing that's being supported is bad,
right.
Retard. That's what everyone always says. And apparently he wanted to shift to he wanted to shift it to like again, it's just like he's more popular than you are because he has more money. I'll concede that. So what? He's fucking faggot and he's a Zionist.
Sucks. Yeah.
He's a faggot anyway. Zionist.
Oh god. So we didn't do our ads again today. Armreg.co.uk. Oh, we have to take a break. Armreg.co.uk. TRS1 is a 15% discount code you got to use there. You can get the Holocaust Encyclopedia, hardbound, paperback, ebook, all kinds of Holocaust related and Jewish related reading material.
Oh, yeah.
Get it all. In there. Armreg.co.uk.
TRS1 15% off. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the show with Borzoi, he gave an example of somebody he was presented with in a conversation about the Holocaust. And having the Holocaust Encyclopedia on hand, if you're going to go online, you're going to argue with these retards about it, and they're going to try and thunderstrike you with talking points and facts. Get the Holocaust Encyclopedia. Easy lookup. Anything they're going to bring to you, because somebody brought up some random Polish guy who went to Auschwitz and gave testimony I had to do was look up his entry on the wiki, on the encyclopedia, and you look at it, oh, that's all bullshit. We did that on the show yesterday. It was a lot of fun. So yeah.
Right. So do that. Also SwazzySteps.com. Fashy Gains is selling something called Potion now. I don't know what that's for, so check him out. He's all fully stocked up.
Dude.
Stop.
This fucking faggot.
Who?
He's blocked me. I've never interacted with this
Revenant?
Homo.
Yeah.
Every one of these fucking people has pre-blocked my account. Because I would fucking, I would go ham on this shit.
Yep. And that's why he blocked you.
I love, wait. Defending Peter Thiel calling us TR sodomites. Holy shit. Like, I don't know.
These people, right, they're just, it's just, it's shameless. It's just Jewish shit. Just, there's no shame to it. And it's, whatever. Anyway, so armreg.co.uk, swazisubs.com. We'll be right back with the Merchant Minute after this riff.
The Death Panel will be right back after this riff. On the Daily Showa.